Thank you so much.
What state?
Georgia. Have to make that clear, don't we, with all the... I do have so many, many fond and wonderful memories of being at this church so many times through the years, and it is certainly a great joy to be back here once again. I've enjoyed the meeting last night, was just wonderfully blessed, and Brother Randall was wonderfully blessed today as well. His father was, of course, I love Brother Randall dearly, but his father was a father to so many of us, and he was to me. And I remember Brother Cagle told me this when he was still pastor in Union, but he had been preaching a long time. He said, Brother Kenneth, he said, you know, when I first started preaching, he said, when I look back at it, he said, I'm almost embarrassed, he said, because I knew so little. And he said, but God blessed me. And he said, after all of these years of preaching, and he said, I've grown and, you know, studied, and God's blessed me. He said, but you know, sometimes I look back and it's like he blessed that little more than he's blessing the lot today. And you know, it takes the Spirit and the power of God in our preaching. And God is the one that adds the power. I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Colossians. If you have your scriptures with you, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And we'd like to read just the first three verses, and would like to title this morning's message, Grace and Peace. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The Apostle Paul, of course, is the penman. God is certainly the author of all scripture, but God used the Apostle Paul mightily. He pinned down most of the New Testament, really, I think 14 books, but especially 13 that we know that Paul wrote. We see that the Apostle Paul was used mightily of God. We see that when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, he was actually in prison. This is one of Paul's prison letters, epistles. He wrote this letter to this church at Colossae. Paul had never been to this church. He had never seen them face to face. Now, he commends their pastor, who was Epaphras, and Epaphras was a faithful minister. And Paul says so much about this church because their pastor, Epaphras, no doubt had gone to the prison to where Paul was at Rome, and Paul was told by Epaphras about this church, and so consequently, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae. You know, it's so important in our lives, and only God can open our eyes to show us our need of Christ. It's when you come to the end of yourself that you come to the beginning of grace. Paul experienced grace. Paul loved grace. And Paul began all of his letters. All 13 letters began with this expression, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is a wonderful blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
But without grace, there is no peace. Grace is the root of peace. What a blessing as Paul wrote this church. He began reminding them of the wonderful blessings that they had in Christ. Did you know today that all of our blessings are in Christ?
Right.
Now, by nature, as you all know, we are in Adam. As in Adam, all sin. We're all of Adam, and so we all fail, we all are guilty, we all have come short of the glory of God. And see, by nature, not only are we not seeking God, man by nature is dead. And when I get a call back home from the local funeral home and they tell me, so-and-so has passed away, will you conduct their funeral? I don't have to say, how dead are they? There's no dead and deader and deadest. Man by nature is dead in trespasses and in sin. And see, the truth is, there is none that seeketh after God. None. It's like one writer said one time, to say that the sinner seeks after God is like saying that the mouse seeks after the cat. Man by nature does not seek God. Man by nature is dead. He is dead in trespasses and in sins. And not only that, man by nature is an enemy of God. And that terminology is used in the book of Romans, and it's also used here in the book of Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says in verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Notice verse 21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." How? "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Did you hear that wonderful language?
Amen. I did.
Did you hear what Paul is saying? Now, Paul has said that we are enemies of God, and yet now hath he reconciled. I want to try to emphasize in my time before you the subject of peace. We have peace with God, and peace with God is an objective peace, and it is God that brings that peace about. And that peace, listen carefully, that peace never fluctuates. There is the peace of God. It is the objective peace that Paul speaks of here in Colossians chapter 1. It is the objective peace that God brings about. He comes to us. He's the one that has reconciled us. He uses that very expression back in Colossians chapter 1, "and having made peace," how? "Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." There is a peace that we have with God. And I say for the third time, that peace never fluctuates. But there is the peace of God, and that peace does fluctuate. If I were to ask you today, are you at peace? Well, I hope you would say, I am with God because of Jesus Christ. Did you know today? I mean, notice how Paul addresses these in Colossians. Notice what he said. He said to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. He addresses them as saints and the faithful brethren. You know, sometimes we can use that term, you hear that term saint, and sometimes people use it in a negative connotation. It's like, you know, this person's really being really self-righteous, but, you know, they think they're a saint. Well, I heard the story about this, these two men, two brothers, that lived in this village, and both of them were, I mean, they were mean as could be, and they were just ruthless businessmen, and they had, you know, beat just about everybody in the town, in the community, and I mean, they were just rascals. I mean, they were just real jerks, and one of them died, and the other brother went to the parish, and he said to the minister, he said, I want you to preach my brother's funeral. And, you know, the preacher said, I'm not so sure about this. And he said, I'll make a big, big contribution to your church if you'll preach his funeral. And the preacher said, okay, I will. Said, okay, I'll do that. And he said, but there's only one thing that I want to make sure you include in the message. Make sure in the message that you say that he was a saint. Everybody in the village came to this funeral. I mean, because everybody, he had beat just about everybody there. They knew what kind of man he was, and they wondered, what in the world is this pastor going to say about this man? And so he gets up, the preacher gets up, and the preacher says all of these mean things about him, says most all of you knew him, he stole from you, he lied to you, he did this and all of that, and he said, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. Well, when Paul says to the saints, that's a Bible word. And I can say to you today, from whatever church you're from, to the saints, you're set apart. You were loved in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before the morning stars ever sang together, before ever a wave ever beat on a timely shore, God knew you, he loved you, even when you were in sin. Even before the world began, notice what he says in the book of Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says concerning this wonderful truth of being at peace with God. He says in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, I love this particular verse. He says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. Notice the terminology, peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you skip down just a few verses, he says in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friends, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ came to rescue to die for sinners. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says he came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. But now by saying that, he was not saying there are two classifications of people. That there are those that are sinners, and there are those that are righteous. What he's saying is, they're all sinners. There are some that know they're sinners and some that don't realize they're sinners. My friends, it is a blessing when God opens our eyes and we see that we are the sinner. If the sin in the news bothers you more than the sin in the mirror, something is wrong. See, my friends, we can talk about the sin out there all day long, but the sin that we see within. If you knew what a sinner I am, you wouldn't want me preaching to you. But on the other hand, if I knew the sinner that you are, I wouldn't want to preach to you. The Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't come to try to save. He didn't come to make salvation a possibility. He didn't say, I'll take the ball and run it to the 50-yard line and you take it the rest of the way. He came down from heaven. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, it is a finished work. Amen. He came and he accomplished what he came to do.
That's right.
We have peace with God. What a blessing. The gospel gives us the good news. And we need the gospel. And I'll tell you, when you begin to understand what Christ has done, it will make such a profound difference in every aspect of your life. When this passage in Romans chapter 5, he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He laid down his life. It's important to know theology. Theology is very, very important. I'm not minimizing that at all. But the greatest distance is from the head, that 18-inch drop, to the heart. See, it's one thing for us ministers to preach this weekend about God's love, what Christ has done, but when the coin really drops and you see that you are special in his sight, that God loved you, Christ died for you. When that coin drops, it impacts every aspect of our life.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to experience it.
Right.
Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He could have said, I know what I believe. Now, knowing what you believe is important. But he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed unto me against that day. Peace with God. Notice what Paul says in this same letter, the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And notice this time, it's the peace of God, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. That word peace in the original language is the word Irene. Anybody here named Irene? Any Irenes here today? It's irene, and it actually means to have confidence and rest in the will and the sovereignty of God. Have peace and confidence. Notice with me another letter that Paul wrote was the letter to the church at Philippi. And it's very similar in so many ways. But notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. Paul says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." Notice verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Then he says in verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do," listen carefully, "and the God of peace shall be with you." The peace of God. I don't know about you, but in my life, that has fluctuated. It does fluctuate. We live in a broken world. We live in a world of pain. Life is hard, pain is real, but God's grace abounds. Amen. And there are a lot of things in this world we'll never understand. We have to rest and find our peace in Christ, in God. And God is able to calm the storm, but if he doesn't calm the storm, he's able to calm us within the storm. And even just a personal experience. A year ago this month, I'd been very healthy, and I walked, ran 5 to 7 miles a day, went to the gym every morning at 4:30, and, I was doing great. And all of a sudden, I started having some heart issues, and to make a long story short, I ended up having to have heart surgery, and, it was... it was right after the holidays. I remember very vividly, I told my wife, I said, "I've got to go somewhere. I'm having symptoms that are not right." And so we waited for 15 hours in the emergency room. And it was a long, long wait. But I'll never forget this experience personally. There was this lady in a wheelchair in a lot worse shape than I was. I was having my own problems, but she was in a lot worse shape. And really, after 15 hours, they took her back first. And I was sitting there, and I really, at the moment, did not have a lot of peace. I'm just going to say it like it is. Not the peace of God. And I was hurting. I couldn't hardly breathe. And I'd waited 15 hours, and I was impatient. And this doctor or this nurse was rolling this lady. And she'd been there longer than I had. She'd been there probably 20 hours. And the man that was pushing her wheelchair, she stopped him. And she looked back around at me. And she said, "It's going to be okay." The Bible says, be careful to entertain strangers. Or you entertain angels unawares. God used that one little expression. It's going to be okay. It reminded me of God's presence. And see, that's what Paul is saying. When Paul was not minimizing pain. Pain is real. And I know in this congregation, there are those here today that you've had losses. You're going through pain. All it takes is one trip to the doctor, and your whole world can be turned upside down. And see, but the God that we're talking about, not only is he with us during the times we're on the mountaintop, he is with us in the valley. One of our favorite hymns, "It Is Well With My Soul." H.G. Spafford, that wrote that hymn in the 1800s, he was an attorney, a very prosperous attorney. He lived in Chicago. He was a very devout Christian. He and his wife had already lost a son in death. And then during the Chicago fires, he lost much of his holdings in the fire. And his doctor advised him to take a sabbatical. And so he sent his wife and the four daughters on to England ahead of him. And as they were making that voyage across the Atlantic, their ship collided with another ocean liner, and 222 people died in that accident. And all four of the daughters. And when Mrs. Spafford, she was spared, and when she got to England, she telegraphed Mr. Spafford, and all she said was, "Saved alone." He got on board a ship and started across to meet his wife, and when they came to the point, he asked the captain of the ship, he says, "Is this the place?" And the captain said, "In this area." And he was inspired to write that beautiful hymn that we all love, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." And can't you shout at the next verse? I'll tell you, when faith shall be sight, right? I mean, when Christ shall come again, won't that be a glorious day? My friends, one glorious day, the same one, the same Savior that came to this earth, he ascended back to glory, but he has promised to come the second time, the last time, and even when these bodies are in the go back to the dust, he shall come again and resurrect the body. What a wonderful Savior we have today. We have peace with God, and as we journey in this life, even when we come down to the end of life of our loved one, face life, it's the end of life ourselves, we can come down, and God has promised to be with us. He's not promised to take the pain away in life, but he's promised to be with us. He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." I thank you for your wonderful attention, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. See one verse, 197.